Welcome to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where the discussion will be about issues that affect people on a daily basis. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lloyd Rosen.
Happy Thursday to everybody, and welcome to another edition of Life's Issues, where we discuss the life issues that change people's lives for the better on a week-in and week-out basis. Today we have another great show for you. We have two guests who take their craft very seriously and teach people how to better themselves and become better people in our world to help the world become a better place to live. And definitely, as usual, if you'd like to join us on the radio with a question, you can dial 347-989-1363. You can press the number 1, be put in the queue for our producer to get you on the air to ask the question that you'd like the answer for. If you are into social butterfly, you can go to Facebook, Tough Talk Radio Network, or Lloyd S. Rosen. Either page will give you some information about the radio show. You can email me if you don't want to get on the radio. You decided you didn't want to have your voice on the radio. You can go to Bowler, B as in boy, O-W-L-E-R, 900, at sbcglobal.net. Ask me the question. I'll get you the answer as quickly as I can and as thoroughly as I can. There's another website called Life's Issues, L-I-F-E-S-I-S-S-U-E-S, with LloydRosen.com. That is my website for the show. You can go on there and click the register to be a guest tab, fill out the form that we have there for you, and then you can also pick a date as to when you want to be on if you want to promote your book or anything else that you have that you feel would be relevant for the rest of the world to hear about and to learn from. You can also go to www.toughtalkradionetwork.com. At that particular website, you'll learn about all the shows we have. We have somewhere in the vicinity of 8 or so with different subjects, different hosts, and definitely things for you to learn about business and life in general. You can also download our shows, which are recorded on iTunes, and listen to them as much as you want, as long as you want. And if you have questions after you listen to it, go back to my email address and send me the questions, and I'll be more than happy to get you the answers to your questions. As I said, today we have two great guests. One of them is going to speak about how they can change your life, give you personal intuition, and find a path to an inner peace that so many people in today's life are looking for. I also have a guest on who wrote a book, on a topic that some people never experience. Some people might experience it once. But this gentleman who I will be speaking with later in the show has experienced a near-death experience, not once, not twice, but 3 times. And he wrote a book about it and is going to be speaking with us later today about the subject. But right now I want to bring up the subject, as everyone who listens to the show knows, this is called Life's Issues. We discuss any and every issue in life that may throw a curve at you, whether it be overweight, brain aneurysms, how to make yourself a better person by taking classes, workshops, finding more about yourself than you ever thought was possible. Having said that and speaking about that, I want to discuss a particular subject which I will bring up right after these messages.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life Changing Insights. Life Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life Changing Insights, go to LifeChangingInsightsWithDrAlanSimberg.com. Life Changing Insights every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to Life's Issues on this Thursday afternoon, the 22nd of January in the year 2015. As I was saying before the break, if you are a sports fan, I know you know about this. If you're not a sports fan, you may even listen to the news and have heard that last Sunday afternoon, or Sunday evening, I should say, the New England Patriots had taken on the Indianapolis Colts for the AFC Divisional Championship. And after the game, it was determined that the Patriots are considered cheating because they had deflated the footballs. And there's an ongoing investigation. It's been going on since Monday. So here we are four days into it. Bill Belichick, the coach of the New England Patriots, gave a news conference this morning saying basically that he didn't know anything about it. He didn't know anything about the inflation of the balls and what the protocol is and all that other stuff. Personally, I'm not going to give my opinion on whether I believe him or not, but what it all comes down to basically is that if it's found out to be true, which it looks like it will be, that the Patriots cheated. Once again, they cheated in 2007 with Spygate. They cheated in 2014 with the deflate balls gate, as they were calling it. But I'm not here today to discuss the New England Patriots and their cheating, but I am here to discuss the art of cheating and cheating in respect to you and what you are doing in your life on a daily basis to make it a better place to live. Now, we all know that everybody lives. When they're born, they die. When they die, and everything in between is leaving your legacy here on the face of this earth for people to learn from after you're long gone. And as I was saying, my first guest is supposed to be an intuitive counselor, a psychic, a radio personality, an author, a public speaker, and she teaches you how to be conscious about your work and how to hit your personal intuition and your inner peace. Now, we're basically waiting for her, I wanted to talk about cheating in the aspect of doing the best things that you can to make your life a more fulfilled life. And I know people who have listened to this show on a regular basis know my story, so I'm not going to go into it other than the fact that I suffered with depression for 36 years, tried to kill myself twice. And if I had succeeded at killing myself, I probably would have, in fact, I know I would have cheated myself, cheated my children, cheated my parents, my friends, anybody else who felt that they were synonymous with me, they would feel like they were cheated because I did not stay around and give my life a chance to experience change for other people. And that's where I'm going with this. I think that there's people out there all the time who are thinking, woe is me. There's kids who are from the ages of 11 on up through adolescence into their 20s, who basically they're like, I'd say, they don't want to go to school. They're getting bullied. They don't want to do homework. They're depressed. They're into drugs. They're into alcohol. And they're thinking, I want to end my life. Well, a lot of these kids are smart kids. They're football players. They are members of the higher society of the schools, clubs. They're chemistry majors. They're this, they're that. And they end up taking their life, cheating the world of what they had to offer. There was a young man, September 2010, who jumped off the George Washington Bridge, which is the bridge that goes between New York and New Jersey, and they found him in the river, dead, obviously. But he was a great, great musician, and he had cheated the world of his musical talent because he had an issue that he did not want to deal with or couldn't deal with. So there is an example of someone who cheated the world. Robin Williams, he's another one who cheated the world. So what I'm trying to get to here is that when you have an opportunity, and I was at that point where I didn't feel I had an opportunity and I did want to kill myself. Well, in the end, God came to me, said to me, Lloyd, I've got bigger, better things for you to do, and I'm not going to let you leave this earth until you're done doing my work. So I was saved. I stared death in the face and basically survived. But I don't take any of that credit because God was the one who put his hand out and told me to follow him. But you have to be able to give to your ability to see the brighter light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I know, because I've been there, that it sometimes doesn't seem like there is light at the end of the tunnel, but I can tell you that there's one thing that you've been given as a human being when you're born, and that's every single person who comes out of the womb, and that is the power to choose. And you need to decide whether you're going to take workshops, take classes, listen to my radio show, listen to other radio shows here and on other radio stations, and learn how to better yourself and come out of the doldrums. I know it's hard. I know it's easier said than done, but I am here to tell you that it has been done. And I'm publishing in the next couple of weeks. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. My new book called Resurrection from Depression. A lot of people would say, oh, wow, that sounds like a religious book. Well, if you look up the definition of resurrection, it means return from. It's just like they said the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came back from the dead. Well, mine is the coming back from depression, getting healthy, learning what it's like to live both in the dark and in the light, and realizing that you have so much to give by living in the light that people will want to hear it, people will want to see it. I was just at a local Board of Education office yesterday and get some information about myself. I want to speak before the high school here where I live to help teenagers realize, because there's too many teenagers out there who are sitting around and saying to themselves, nobody cares. I don't care about myself. My parents are too busy with their work. My friends are too much into girlfriends and football and this and that and the other thing. So don't think of it that way. Think of it as you would be cheating yourself out of what you could leave as a legacy here in the world. The legacy you leave may become so well known, you become so huge that it just doesn't, you just don't understand what you're leaving behind until long after you're gone. So that's what I say about cheating the world of your presence in it. Everybody is born. Everybody can be president of the United States. They can be a pastor. They can be anything they want to do. We've proven that over and over and over again. And so don't cheat the world. It's not fair to the world, but it's also not fair to you because you, in your darkness, don't understand what you may have to give. I didn't learn what I had to give to the world until I was saved from the second time I tried to kill myself. It's just not a possibility to give up. If you give up, then, as they say, you only fail in life when you don't get up from being knocked down. If you get knocked down once and get up, you're a winner. If you get knocked down 10 times and you get up 10 times, you're a winner. You're a winner until you stop. So Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, the New England Patriots, they may be cheaters. They may not be. We'll still have to determine that. But I would not, in my wildest imagination and in my wildest dreams, ever want to hear that anybody that I know or that I read about in the newspaper has cheated life by getting ready to kill themselves, whether hanging it in the closet of their home, whether jumping off a bridge, whether shooting themselves with a gun. It doesn't make a difference. Let me put it to you this way. You're not the man if you do complete the suicide. I believe you're more of the man if you don't complete the suicide. If you have the strength, if you have the ability, if you have the know-how and the drive to want to stay alive and tell the devil, because that's who's forcing you to kill yourself, is the devil. If you tell him, no way, I'm not going to go in your direction, I'm turning my back on you, then you've given yourself at least a fighting chance to continue on your journey of being able to eventually find what you're supposed to do in life. Because I will tell you this, I'm 58 years old. I didn't find out what I was supposed to be doing in my life until I was 49 years old. So, and people will tell you, I have a friend from high school who just opened up her own weight loss practice. She's going to help people, including myself, to lose weight. She's going to help people like myself to get off their medication as far as diabetic meds and live a more productive and lighter life by losing the weight and being on a healthy diet. And she is also 58 years old. So it's never, ever too late for you to find your calling and to do what you needed to do. Let's just say, for argument's sake, you don't know your calling, you complete the suicide, now you're gone and you're on the other side. You have no way of completing the journey that God brought you into this world to do. But if you fight it and you just stay alive long enough for you to find your calling, then you could find the cure to cancer. You could find the cure to Parkinson's disease. You could find the cure to anything that exists in this life that is taking people before their time because of illness, brain tumors, cancers of all type, as I said earlier. It's just boggling to my mind how people would be so selfish and self-centered. And I was one of those people who was selfish and self-centered because I thought, I'm going to take my life and I don't care about my children. I don't care about my girlfriend. I don't care about my family. I don't care about anything. But I was very fortunate the second time that I tried to kill myself. I was fortunate to find a gentleman who I talked to for 2 hours and explained to me a lot about the way God does work, and he took me for lunch, and we went our separate ways, and for that reason, and that reason alone, I would say, other than my own self-centered strength to overcome it, that I did not take my life, because he was an angel in the human form, and I've never seen him since. I've never, I looked for him on the internet, I looked for him on Facebook, nowhere to be found. So just like you hear stories about people who are in death-defying car accidents and they get dragged out of the car before the fire department ever gets there, and they have no recollection of how they got out, who got them out, or anything other than the fact that they were saved by somebody. And that's what I'm trying to get across here as I go on talking about cheating. Because cheating is a negative connotation. Cheating is a job of the devil. The devil has cheated a lot of people out of a lot of things. And I think sometimes God actually allows the devil to work upon you so you'll learn lessons. I know I was one of those people who had to learn my lesson the first time when I tried to drive my car into a river, and he came and talked to me and told me, no, I got better things for you to do, and they include your children, so I didn't do that. But cheating is not a way of the world. It's a negative thing. It's not a positive. There is no positive in cheating. If you're in school and you cheat on a test by looking at somebody else's answers and put them down, whose life are you changing? Are you helping yours? Yeah, you might be helping yours by passing the test and getting out of the class, but in the long run, are you really helping yourself? I don't think so. And that goes for everything in life. If you cheat yourself in life, you never ever help anybody but the person who may have listened to you without really thinking about the fact that you were telling them something that was not of positive motivation. So just remember, and I know that I'm talking long here about cheating, but I'm not a fan of the New England Patriots. I'm not a fan of Bill Belichick's. I'm not a fan of cheating, whether it be a football game, you know, getting the upper hand, big deal, sportsmanship. It's just not possible to have any positive recollection of being a cheater. So on that note, I will just leave you with that message that I have for you today, that cheating is definitely not something that you can do and feel good about it in the long run. Yeah, initially you can feel good about it, but in the long run, it'll get to you and you'll feel sorry and feel guilty about doing it. So keep that in mind. If you have any questions or comments, please either call in to the second half of the show or get a hold of me at bowler900@sbcglobal.net, and I'll get those answers for you as quickly as possible. We'll be right back after these commercial breaks.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
D. Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to Life's Issues. My guest today is a gentleman who was raised on the outskirts of San Diego, California. He survived a traumatic childhood, traveled extensively as a young man, and lived a variety of lives as a ski bum, a martial artist, a factory welder, a sculptor, fabricator, an underground cartoonist, and finally, as an award-winning illustrator, art director, and animation designer. He is an Emmy-nominated art director. As I said, he designed the credits for Showtime's Weeds and designed the art, directed the PBS children's show Word World. He seems to, from what I'm reading, still be involved in that. But we are here to talk about a book that he has written, and we will have a great conversation on how to survive life and death, a guide for happiness in this world and beyond. Let's welcome Robert Kopecky. Robert, how are you today?
I'm just fine. Thanks for having me, Dr. Rosen. It's nice to be here.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
It's nice to be anywhere.
Hey, you know, this is very true. This is very true. I've always been a student of near-death experiences. The whole issue of being born, living your life, and dying has always been an interest to me because I've just had an interest in it. When I was 14 years old, my grandfather passed away from cancer, and I had the honor of being a pallbearer at his funeral. So it's had a very interesting part of my life. So we're going to speak a lot about your book. I was very fortunate. I did get a copy of your book, and I am two-thirds of the way through it. Got a lot of great information in there. And before we get started with the questions, let me just put that out to my listeners that if you want to get a book that is by a man who had three near-death experiences and teaches you how to live your life here in the physical world, I suggest picking a copy up, because I was floored with every page that I turned about what you talked about and how you put it in perspective is to make your life better while you're still alive on this earth. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for your kind words. I mean, what I really try to do with the book is to put the experience of death and dying into context for us. You know, we all have those experiences of our grandparents dying or friends dying and stuff, and our experience of death kind of changes through our life, and then ultimately we face it ourselves. It's, you know, it comes up on the horizon, and it gets closer and closer. And for me, it literally kind of hit me over the head, you know, and I ended up having to experience it different occasions much sooner than I would have preferred. But it takes what it takes for some people, and so I guess it took that for me.
Now, as I said before, the book goes through not one, not two, but three different near-death experiences. You talk about the first one when you went to a bar, had drinks, got behind the wheel of the car, and got into a car accident. Just touch a little bit on the other two, because, like I said, I'm 130 pages into the 186-page book, and I haven't yet found your explanation of the other two. What were they from?
Oh, okay. Well, the first one was a single car accident, and that was a out-of-body experience I had where I saw myself and saw the emergency vehicles come and all of that stuff, and then I had an afterlife experience attached to that. That was about 24 hours long, that whole thing. The second one, I'd had stuff happen in my life that led me to lead a kind of riotously inappropriate lifestyle. And so I was a denizen of the New York City underground during the late 80s and early 90s. And I ended up charitably, you could call it charitably, having a toxic reaction to that. It was basically an overdose kind of situation. I had an experience of an afterlife experience where I was shown scenes from my own life in that one. And the third one, I was some years later, and I was attacked by a skinhead. If you know what skinheads are, they're kind of disaffected quasi-military neo-Nazi type kids. I was out in Arizona in a college town, and I was on a payphone, and I was attacked by an inebriated skinhead. And I got in an altercation with him, which I apparently triumphed, it appeared. But I made the great mistake of resorting to violence. And I didn't realize that there was a van full of skinheads who had witnessed the whole thing. And when I wasn't looking, somebody hit me in the back of the head with a tire iron or something. And they stomped and kicked me for the better part of an hour. So that was my least favorite way to go. And in that one, I had an experience of being in a very safe kind of womb-like place, but wanting to stay there and being essentially forced back into this life against my will. I'd kind of had it here, but I had no choice. I hadn't exited the right way. I hadn't accomplished what I had been set to accomplish here in this life, and I was pushed back into this plane of existence, and I opened up my eyes, and the emergency medical guy looking down at me said, "He's back." And so the three of them, the first one was that kind of perspective. The second one was really about presence. And the third one was really about purpose.
And I'm asking this not because I'm naive or anything, but do you ever stop and say to yourself, why did you let me come back? Or are you very comfortable with the fact that you know why you were sent back?
Well, I'm very comfortable with the fact of why I got sent back at this point, because, even though those three very traumatic things happened to me, I still didn't really turn my life around. I didn't really enter onto a spiritual path until a couple of years after the third near-death experience. I think probably up until the third one, I was kind of wondering why me a lot, about a lot of things in my life. A lot of things started out well and then didn't work out. And so I literally had to kind of die from stages of my life. You know, I had to have these sort of catastrophes happen to put me on a better track. And like I said, I hadn't really gotten the message until I had a moment a couple of years after my third near-death experience where things really were not working out in my life, where everything I had expected was going to be a certain way did not turn out that way. And I was confronted with this kind of absolute humility of being at the starting over again at age 45 or so, you know. And with that, I think I had a moment of grace where I kind of my life kind of turned around. It kind of did a 180. I began a spiritual. I set out on a spiritual path from that point on. I started meditating. I became very interested in studying spiritual texts, and in many ways I became a different person. I became a vegetarian and stuff. All these things I never would have imagined for myself. And, you know, I started socking away this information and gaining this sense of my purpose. And I, sitting on a rock by a river, the Upper Delaware River, in the few years back, I just had a calling to write this book and put out all of these experiences. They kind of crystallized in my life, I think, through my meditation practice. I did service in a hospital for many years, and all of my life experiences then just kind of boiled down to a place where I could set it all down on paper, and it happened very quickly, and a publisher was interested right away. It was a very unique and unusual story of becoming a writer. I'm still surprised sometimes, but I'm working on my second book now, so there you go.
Oh, great. You are unique in the sense that I myself, and I know a number of people, have read books written by authors who have had near-death experiences, and they talk about their whole excursion from the accident that caused them to have a near-death experience to coming back into the physical world. You write more or less a how-to book, taking the experience of near-death experience and writing about teaching people how to live based on what you learned from the other side.
Yeah, and here's why, is because my experience of the other side, quote-unquote, was of being there, too. You know, I was present there, too. I was conscious. I was engaged in consciousness, even though I had apparently moved on from this life. I was in a different world, in a different place, but I was still there, just like I'm here now talking to you, just like we exist in this eternal moment all the time, right? We're always right here, right now. And that is the nature of life as I believe it continues, too. And the other aspect of it is, there's a couple other aspects of that, Dr. Rosen, and that is that what kind of life do people, what kinds of different lives do people live on this earth? You could be delivered to completely different kinds of lives in this world, in this present world. You could live in a heaven or you could live in a hell. It could look like heaven or like hell, or it could look wonderful and feel like hell. And that's the nature of life no matter what world we're in. So you get very different. This is my description, my explanation for why you get such different descriptions of the afterlife from different people, you know. Some are very elaborate and some are very humble. Mine were rather humble. I could go into it more deeply, but I choose not to go there because my book is not about the architecture and landscapes of heaven. My book is about how to build and how to experience heaven here in this world, in this life. There's also those questions about our psyches and about, you know, if we're not in this form, if we're not in a human form with a brain, et cetera, how can we realize what our imagination brings to us? You know, it's very possible, I think, in other worlds beyond this one, that all bets are off and our imaginations can run wild and we can manifest all kinds of miraculous things. And I think that's another reason why people have such varying afterlife experiences. For me, what's important is what I learned, what those lessons taught me, and what they taught me about how to make this life look more like heaven.
And that is more or less the most important thing, is that you had the opportunity to see, so you were able to come back and better your life and help better other people's lives because of what you learned, which I think is phenomenal. But here's a question for you, and I don't know if you'll be able to answer it. Like I said earlier on the onset of this interview, I have a very interesting view of life and death. And dying doesn't bother me. I know it's going to happen. My only question is, how am I going to have it happen? Am I going to get, in a car accident? Am I going to die in my sleep? That kind of stuff is what I think about, not the fact that I'm going to die. And I talk to people all the time about death. And they look at me straight in the eye and they say, why are you so intrigued with death? Why are you so eager to die? And I look at them and I say, I'm not eager to die, but how do you know that the other side is not better than the physical world? Have you ever been? And they say, no, I've never been. Well, I've never been either, but I have connected with the other side through meditation, and I've been told that it is a much better place. So more or less, my question is, why are people so negative about dying when, other than a few like yourself, have never been there and don't have any clue as to what it's all about? And it could be the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, it could be. There are also, some people who have very hellish experiences too, and a lot of that just has to do, it's contingent on our spiritual condition, I think, when we transition. But one of the reasons for that, for people's hesitance or fear regarding death, is just instinctive. It's just instinctual. It's just the nature of the beast, so to speak. As human beings alive on this earth, you want to live. you want to survive. You want to stay alive. All animals are like that. All creatures that live on this planet are like that. And so, you got to respect that. The other thing about it, I think, is that people fear that kind of obliteration, that they will no longer be conscious, that it will all stop. They will stop. It'll be over. It'll be the end. And I'm here to tell you it doesn't. it's not. It continues. One remains engaged in consciousness, but in a slightly different way is all. So, and a lot of people, they haven't poked their head behind the curtain a couple of times like I, fortunately or unfortunately, have had a chance to do. And so there, why walk around trying to figure out what it's going to be like when you don't really know, I suppose. For me, I had these questions like you from the time that I was quite young. I was already interested in sort of mystical things. And so I think it's just been a natural outgrowth of my sort of karma life. I believe in reincarnation. I believe that our spirits, our souls, cycle through different existences. And I think that there's plenty of evidence for that sort of thing. I have personal evidence in my life. And so I think that it's quite a fascinating thing. There's also this aspect of living and dying different lives in this one. Each of us has had these moments where of great transformation, where basically a whole part of your life ends. And you sort of become someone else, and maybe a bit more authentically who you are meant to be, And so we have that kind of death and rebirth going on in a number of different ways, I believe.
You talk in your book, I know I was going through it and reading about the three tips for happiness that you describe in your book. Can you briefly explain the three tips?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. The premise of that really is that we are spiritual beings, right? And we're having a physical experience. And there really are these kinds of doorways that are always there. They're always available for us into our spiritual life, into the spiritual solutions that are there waiting for us to utilize, to overcome difficult aspects of life. I call those my three tips for happiness. And the first one is what I call radical kindness. And what that entails is pretty obvious from the name of it. It's just you are just as kind. In fact, I like to give it as a challenge. You be just as completely, sincerely kind to everyone that you come into contact with for a day or two, and watch how it transforms your life. It will change your kind of overall vibration and connect you with this kind of invisible fabric of kindness that underlies life. You'll find yourself striking up great conversations and getting help from people in stores and having complete strangers offer you opportunities or help with something. And you just give back that way. And so many of what seem to be your immediate problems disappear just immediately in that sort of transformed state of being that you experience by just being radically kind. The second one is radical forgiveness, is what I call it, which is likewise kind of obvious, I think. You know, if we walk around carrying the slings and arrows of outrageous misfortune with us all the time, then we're going to suffer. People do terrible things to us every once in a while, and naturally we're going to be upset about it. Or, you know, inversely, we do terrible things to people sometimes. Maybe we don't mean to, but you walk around with the feeling, the negative feeling that creates. And radical forgiveness is just simply recognizing and being aware of the fact that life is not easy, that people are not perfect, that everyone is living out their own karma, and that if you take on the pain that's directed your way by someone who harms you, then you will carry that pain yourself when you don't need to. And likewise, when you suffer from having injured someone, you need also to forgive yourself and to recognize that this is a process. It's a process of learning and a process of growing. And those difficult things, those difficult occasions are growing opportunities, really. You know, I know that sounds kind of cliched, but it is true. So we radically forgive one another and ourselves, from everything to stepping in your way, getting onto a train, to stealing your wife, or, you know. The sooner you forgive, the better off you'll be. And that's likewise a doorway to a spiritual solution. The last one is radical surrender, which doesn't sound as obvious and in fact sounds kind of negative, because most people think of surrender in a derisive way, in a derogatory way. But I'd just like to point out that when things are going really well in life, you are completely surrendered to that wonderful sort of force in your life that's carrying you along so well. It's only when things aren't going well that we think we have to inject our own will and make something happen to change it, when that's not necessarily the case. When you're going through hell, keep going, right? That same thing that carries you through the good times is carrying you all the time and is bringing you to what you need to know and to a logical exit from a difficult situation.
And I think that's well said, because I don't think that enough people realize that the same power that pulls you through the positive times will eventually pull you through the negative times, and you'll be back at the positive point once again. We're winding down here, but I need to ask you this question. Now, you've been to the other side. You've seen it in a number of different ways. Do you personally believe in reincarnation?
Well, yeah. As I mentioned, I do, definitely. And I think that there's a whole lot of evidence of that. You know, there's empirical evidence of that in this world. There are all kinds of people that are born with the skills and knowledge and the like of specific things about, you know, years and years ago that they obviously have no business. Children, you know, who can describe villages halfway around the world the way they were 100 years ago, and even say what member of a family they were, and when it's checked out, it all comes to pass that it's correct. Also because, you know, I had this opportunity where I was there, wherever that was, I was there, and I was still conscious or engaged in consciousness. I still had a sense of my individuality and that I was progressing in a way, that I then had to come back here to engage back in this world again. But now I have this understanding that I will one day step into another life, just like walking from one room to the next. And it's a progression in that regard, in a way, I think, that's bringing us back home, if I can put it that simply.
No, that's the perfect way of putting it, because that is the ultimate home for everybody. Now, I know in your book, you talk about meditation. It's a very important instrument in relaxing and learning and teaching yourself. But for you, why is it important, and what are some tips that you can help people with as far as them having a hard time with meditation? Because not everybody can meditate. So.
No, and I was one of those people who couldn't for years. I would sit down to meditate and think, okay, I'm going to meditate. I'm meditating. Here I am. I'm meditating. Now I'm meditating. What am I? Okay, there it goes. And it just didn't work, right? It wasn't until I had been through, I guess, enough difficult times in my life that I was able to sit with myself and recognize that it had been my thinking that had created a lot of the pain and a lot of the difficulty, and I started being able to look to witness my own thinking, which is something that meditation is really good for. If you're sitting there and you're able to witness your crazy thoughts and where they're going, then who are you? You are the witness at in your deepest place within yourself. You're able to witness you're not your thoughts. Your thoughts are just the product of your brain, which is always moving like a shark, kind of, you know. And so meditation allows us to become a witness to our thinking and then to kind of guide it or to ignore it at times in favor of serenity. And in doing that, then, I discovered through identification with that place, with that being a witness, that that's kind of the place where I'm attached to everything else on a very profound level, to all of life, to the thoughts that run through all of our heads. We're all always thinking the same kinds of thoughts, having the same kinds of dreams and hopes and aspirations in life, fears and the like. And so I became able to see that I'm part of this one great, big, beautiful thing that life is, consciousness, right? And compassionate consciousness, I like to call it.
And, yeah, I can definitely agree with that wholeheartedly, because not enough people in this world understand that they're part of a greater thing than themselves, and they have to learn to partake in it and reach out and accept it, because it's an important thing to be involved with. Let me have you give information as to where my listeners can get information on your book, where they can buy it, and
it's How to Survive Life and Death, A Guide for Happiness in This World and Beyond, right, from Kunari Press. You can get it anywhere. You can get it on all the online places and stuff, Amazon and all that, although I do like to suggest that people patronize their local bookstores, because I'm a big fan of local bookstores myself. And then I have a blog, robertkopecky.blogspot.com. called Art, Faith, and the Coco Lion, and I'm also on Gaiam TV. I'm an expert contributor on a monthly basis to Gaiam TV, and I'm at a lot of different other places around the internet. So that's how you can always find me. Twitter, I'm Robert Kopecky 3. I have a Facebook author page. I've got all that stuff. So I'd love to see you there.
Sounds great. We appreciate you spending part of your Thursday afternoon with us and teaching us a little about the benefits of living a better life.
Well, it's my great pleasure, Dr. Rosen, and you know, I do encourage people to meditate. That's where I experience what was closest to the afterlife to me, is this kind of blissful place of being in this life.
There's always a message out there somewhere, somehow, isn't there?
Well, there sure is, and we all know it already. It's within us all, and it's just waiting to be discovered or rediscovered. I think that's what we're all doing here is discovering all that wonderful knowledge that we actually already have.
Unfortunately, some of us don't give ourselves the benefit of the doubt and accept the fact that we are ready, willing, and definitely open to learning much more about it, and which will better ourselves. So hopefully people will hear this interview, read your book, and partake in a better life by learning from you.
Well, thanks very much. I hope so, too. I hope they don't have to get hit over the head as hard as I did as many times as I did. There are better ways of going about it. But
well, we're fortunate, and I speak for many people, fortunate that you were allowed to come back and partake in helping the world become a better place.
Well, thanks so much, Dr. Rosen. It's very kind of you to say.
Have a wonderful weekend and rest of the week.
You too. Thanks a lot, and the same to everybody out there.
All righty. Take care, Robert.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. That was Robert Kopecky. He is an author of a book about life after death and a return from it. He's done it 3 times, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Stism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Stism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune into Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Welcome back to Life's Issues on this Thursday afternoon. I hope that you were able to hear my talk earlier about cheating life and death, and how it's much better for you to survive and find out what God had for you in this world, because my second guest, Mr. Robert Kopecky, was a gentleman who survived not one, not two, but 3 near-death experiences and came back to write a book on it and teach us how to live a better life by learning from the other side. So having said that, I want to thank Mr. Kopecky for being my guest today, and I want you all to remember that you're only one person in this world, but like Robert Kopecky, you may be the world to one person, and that one person, you may be saving their life without ever knowing it. So until we meet again next week, actually, it'll be in 2 weeks. Next week, you will have a guest host in here because I will be traveling on the road. And so you'll have a guest host in here talking with our guests next week. But enjoy it, and I will see you in 2 weeks. And have a great weekend and a great week, and take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.